Jeremiah. Chapter 1, and let's read from verse 4. We read verse 4, verse 5. Jeremiah 1, verse 4, and verse 5. If you are there, say amen. If you are there, say amen. I pray in the name of Jesus today, every word that will turn to encounter of the anointing you needed, you won't miss it. We read verse 4, we read verse 5. Let's read the word of God. One, two, go together. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto nations. Please be seated. Before you were ever formed, before you were ever born, you have been sanctified, separated, and ordained for a cause. Ever before you were formed in the womb, before at all you were born. Please listen carefully to that. There is a purpose of God that have gone ahead of your coming. If you are not going to miss destiny, you've got to find out the purpose of God that has gone ahead of you before you arrive. You know what? Let no man say he has arrived in whatever he is doing, if that man has not found the word that has gone ahead of him before his arrival. Meaning that if we can find the word that has gone ahead of us, which is what the intention of God for our life is, if we can find it, if you can find yours, and I believe, I pray you are going to find it, then you are going to be at peace with God. A man that has not found his destiny and not doing his destiny is never and can never be at peace with God. Please take that. Take that. Until you find your purpose, you are against God. Because your purpose is simply talking about God's intention for your creation. And that purpose has to do with your own part in his bigger eternal plan. So you can imagine a part of a building is not joining. Then it's not going to bring about the entire beauty of the building. So the first thing I would like to drop with us today, if you are going to have this oil, is that you must find your part. Very key. That's the foundation. Now, the Bible talks about Jesus, how he was anointed. Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power. So you can see the two levels of the anointing, with Holy Ghost, then it comes with power. Then the power can keep increasing. Praise God. So it's in the power, the anointing power is in levels. The more you walk, the greater you are increased. Now, what did he do? Did he sit down? He didn't sit down. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who went about? So he was walking with the anointing according to the plan of God for his life. Today, you will receive fresh oil. So, as the word of God is called, Holy Spirit will be walking through your mind for the discovery of the real you. For the discovery of the real you. You are born for impact. And you don't make your impact in making money. You make your impact in finding your purpose. Finding your purpose. That's where you make your impact. You will agree with me that people who make impact, they are never forgotten. But with time, people who make money, they are forgotten. Praise God. So this is number one thing. Finding your purpose and committing yourself to doing it. I'm sharing with us today on walking in grace. Why walking in grace? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. From verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of work, lest any man should boast." Now, he told us the reason why we are saved by grace. Now, if we are saved by grace, we must remain in the grace. We must keep walking in the grace. If we are saved by grace, maintain that grace by walking in that grace. Now, what's the purpose of our salvation by grace? Verse 10 reveal. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before." Can you see this confirming again Jeremiah we read the other time? "Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Before. Listen, before the first man was made, God created the job. Praise God. So before all of us were born, there is a job for you in destiny. But of course, you know what happened. So devil visited, and devil give them another job. May you not live your life pursuing things outside grace. Devil gave them another job. So I tell you to today,
there are jobs outside grace. There are jobs outside grace. There are jobs outside your destiny. That's why for some of us, what you are doing, you are getting money, but you are not enjoying it. You are getting money, you are financially okay, but something in you is dying daily. It's a sign you are not in your original purpose. I told our people, I read a book by Donald Trump. And he was talking about, you know, some of the attitude of, is it millionaires, he called it now, or billionaires. And he said, they don't take holiday. He said, why taking holiday? Except you don't enjoy what you are doing. Except you don't enjoy what you are doing. So if you are not enjoying what you are doing, that's why you'll be seeking and clamoring for way out. You are saved by grace because you have been ordained to be God's workmanship. To be God's workmanship. Have you noticed that there are no angels here or not? They don't live here. If you ever seen one, it's on errand. We are the one here to do the purpose of God. Praise God. So why looking for a job when there is a job for you before you were born? May you find it. I say, may you find it. So if we are saved by grace and we are not going to lose this grace, let's walk in grace. That's what I've come to tell you today. Why we can receive grace for grace and fresh oil. Walking in grace. That's the only reason. Finding your path, remaining there. And I'm going to emphasize one thing today that can actually frustrate the grace of God. You know, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul talked about the fact that you don't frustrate the grace of God. So we are going to see, how can a man frustrate grace? Of course, wherever God's grace is frustrated, the occupant of that life is also in frustration. Now listen to this. Every recipient of God's grace is a candidate for the top. Every recipient of God's grace is a candidate for the top. In fact, for the topmost top. But if you will keep walking in grace, as long as you will keep walking in grace. Now, how do you do that? Hebrews chapter 12. Look at the admonition. How do we keep walking in grace? How do we not frustrate this grace? Look at it. Before I show us, I'm going to bring to us the life of one man who found grace as God found him. but eventually he frustrated it by lack of one thing, which we are going to see as one of the many things that can bring frustration to the grace of God upon the life of a man. And you see, oftentimes, many of us, many, and I mean many people, we do it. We don't know we frustrate grace that way. So look at Hebrews 12:1. It said, therefore, or wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that is those who are run ahead of us. I mean, those who have run before us. They are the cloud of witnesses. So he said, therefore, because of these witnesses around us, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, which doth so easily. We don't know, but quietly, they doth so easily beset us. They take us back. Let's push them aside. Understand how to run your race. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Are we together? Let us run. So you are to run with patience the race that is set before us. And then he went on to say in verse 2, how do you do it? Look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. How did he finish? Copy from him. What did he do? He had joy. So with joy, because he was able to know that faithful is he who has promised, who will also do it, who has called it, is faithful. He will also do whatever he has said. So he had this joy to push through and endure the cross and despise the shame. Now listen, one of the reason and key reason a lot of us find it difficult to pursue the race before us, even when we know the race, is this. It is full of shame. No vision speaks at the beginning. It doesn't look speaking. Every big vision starts small. Every great thing starts little. So you look at it, how long will I stay here? So because of the shame of the little beginning, because of the reproach, many of us, we opt for what is quick, what is fast. So Paul is saying, run with patience. Because everything that grows takes time. Whether in your marriage, whether in business, whether in ministry, whether in education, growth takes time. Listen, no amount of prayer can bring speed to your growth. Rather, it is knowledge that will impart wisdom to you to run your race with patience. No matter how much a parent loves the son or a child, even if it is the only child, the parent must endure the time for the proper growth of that child. You desire the growth of your vision, though it tarries, wait for it. Haven't know it, stick to it. Keep nursing it. Nothing works if it is not worked. Work your purpose. Stay there. So the more you work, the more grace, the more hoy. Don't ask for more hoy if you don't use the one that was given you. The one was given one talent and came back with the same talent. Can he ask for more? He can't get more. Only those who are walking in grace can receive more grace. Can have the ahoy renewed. What are you doing about your vision? What are you doing about your life? It's a big question God is throwing at us today. What? So you don't, you know, why running your race? Don't mind the shape. Just focus on your race. And keep looking unto Jesus, how he did it. That's our grace. He walked in grace. He's the one who brought us grace. Yet in walking grace. By finding the will of God for his life. And remaining there. Now, let's look at Galatians now, chapter 2, that verse 21, where Paul was saying, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate it. Galatians, Ephesians now. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay. Verse 21. It says, okay, let me read from KJV first. And then I'm going to actually I want to emphasize something in True Message translation. But let's see from KJV first. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. So I look at it. I do not frustrate the grace of God. So a man can be a recipient of God's grace, a carrier of God's grace, and the grace that's supposed to produce his greatness is frustrating it. Think about that. What's supposed to work for you? What you ought to benefit from? Because you lack certain knowledge, now you are frustrating it. So what that means is that if a recipient of the grace of God frustrates the grace of God, automatically he's going to find himself in continuous frustration. And I'm praying today, may God open our eyes to see wherever we are frustrating the grace of God. Paul said, I do not frustrate it. Now, look at him. Look at him. You will find out that he had this unique ministry, which is quite different from even what the apostles that were raised before him understood. By knowledge of the Spirit, he was able to understand that no, this gospel is not just for a certain set of people. No, it's not just for the Jews also. I mean, alone. It is also for the Gentile. So he had that unique understanding and ministry. And you know what? Against all hold, he pursued it. Now, one thing about every unique product is that at the beginning, it is not identified with. It is not welcomed. It is not reckoned with. You know why? It's not common. So a lot of questions will be raised against it. So even when God tells you something or give you a leading, don't think even the most spiritual around you will accept it. Don't. Did you remember when Peter went by divine leading to the house of Cornelius? At his returning back to Jerusalem, you see a lot of contention in the church. Why will you go? Why this? Why that? Until he told them, what's happening to you? Even before I opened my mouth, you people, you started from water, Abi. They started from fire. They said, is that so? We rest our case. I'm praying for you today. Encounter via the word of God that we put confidence in your heart to pursue your destiny, and whatever God is telling you, may you receive it today so that you can do whatever thing God has called you to do. Anything on the pulpit, in the marketplace, in your family, anything at all. Anything. Now let's read from Message Translation, and then let's pick it from verse 19. And I'm going to read that word. And then I will show us one quiet way we can frustrate the grace of God. And we may not know. It happened to Saul, King Saul. So let's read before we look at the life of Saul, and then we close. From verse 19, I read Message Translation. So Paul is saying, what actually took place is this. I tried keeping the rules. Please follow. I tried keeping to the rules. To the rules. To the rule of the game. To the rule of the day. To the traditions. To what I met on ground. And walking my head off to please God. He said what? It didn't work. My goodness. He said, he went on. He said, so I quit being a lawman. I quit being a lawman. He said, so that I could be God's man. Are you following? He said, Christ's life showed me how. That's why you have to keep looking unto him. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ's life showed me how. Christ's life enable me to do it. He said, I identify myself completely with him. Glory to Jesus. He said, indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. A daily encounter will do that for you. He said, my ego is no longer central. Today, may the word of God crush your ego. It's one thing that can bring frustration to the grace of God. A man's ego. You want to be great? You must be small in your own eyes. You want to maintain your greatness, which is more harder than becoming great. It is more harder to maintain your greatness than becoming great. Because to start the journey to greatness, you must remain small in your own eyes. To keep that greatness, you must remain small in your own eyes. You must not get to a point when you try to put word, your own word, in God's mouth. Are you getting me? You must never grow to that point. A lot of us do it. A lot of Christians do it. You see, when God said, leave that place, go there, and then somebody think in his head, my fasting and prayer will fix it. It doesn't work that way. Again, look at Balaam. You remember the story of Balaam? In fact, everybody knew that this guy, the power of God is with him. Whatever he decree, it is so. Himself said, a man whose eyes is open, he can see. So even an unbeliever king, Balak, called him. He said, I know you. I know God is with you. These people have tried all manner of things to charm them. It didn't work. I found out they are Christian like you. I'm going to give you money. I'm going to make you rich. Come, curse them. That's another element there. Gains will make you frustrate the grace of God. Gains. When you are after gains, what to get. If all you are after is what to get, even after getting what you can get, you will lose everything you have gotten, including the grace of God. So God told Balak, don't go, they are my people. So he told them, go back. Oh, God didn't allow me to go. Then by the time another set of team came from the king, and they came with more bigger promises, then he put word in God's mouth. Shall I go? Talk to me. What did God say? God said, go. Right? You better be careful. If God gave you an instruction, you have not obeyed it, you prayed about it another time, and then God granted you according to your desire, you better be careful. It is not God. You are on your own. Do I need to repeat that? If God ever giving you an instruction the first time, you are dragging that instruction, you've not done it because you are not finding it pleasing, and then you pray about it another time, and then you hear God giving you approval according to your heart desire, then it is not God. You've only forced your word in God's mouth. You know that kind of a situation? When somebody keep pestering you, He said, whoa, while I call, go and do it. You know, even a lot of us, we do it to our pastors. We do it to our leaders. Let's read on the word of Paul. He said, my ego is no longer central. Christ is now the center. May Christ become the center and the all in all of your life. He said, it is no longer important that I appear righteous before you. Yeah. Let's begin to delve into that major thing I want to show us today. To walk in grace and not frustrate the grace of God. He said, it is no longer important that I appear righteous before you, before people, or have your good opinion. In other words, stop trying to be in people's good book. Listen, there is nothing like people's good book. That book will remain good as long as you are dancing to their tune. The moment you find God's will, and you say, yes, this is what God wants me to do, and it's not in line with them, then they will tear the good book. Did you get it now? So nothing like people's good book. Nothing like that. So Paul said, it is no longer important that I appear righteous, I appear good before you,
or have your good opinion.
He went on. He said, I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me live now is not mine, but it is lived by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave me himself to me. I am not going to go back on that. He went on and said, is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion, that's another emphasis, peer-pleasing, trying to be in people's good book, is going to be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God, which is the grace of God. Because let me tell you, when you talk about grace, it has this personal benefit. Just like no matter how many sons in a family, each son, as long as a good son, has a personal relationship with the father. Is that true? No matter how many sons, each one will still have a personal relationship. So there's this personal benefit leading uniqueness about grace that comes with it. So it's going to be, and if I continue in peer pleasing religion, and that's my emphasis, peer pleasing, trying to have good people opinion, trying to please people, trying to be people pleaser, listen, is going to frustrate the grace of God on your life. Did you remember when Jesus said, a man's enemy are the people of his household? When Jesus was saying that, he was not saying, it doesn't mean that originally, Jesus didn't mean that members of your household, they will charm you, they will do evil. But what he meant is that because of their too much care and love for you, if you, the recipient of God's grace, you are not careful, people out of their excessive love can hinder you from pleasing God. So they will become your enemy, even though they didn't mean evil. Did you get that? That's what Jesus meant. So when you look at that in line to what God is raising here, come out of peer-pleasing religion. He said, Paul said, it's going to be the abandonment. It's going to make you to abandon everything personal and free in your relationship with God. He said, I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. I refuse. I live. I say, if a living relationship with God will come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. So let's see, finally, the life of Saul. A man who found grace. God set him up. Something happened. A difficult situation. One of the ass of his father got missing. And one of the house of his father got in, and while trying to fix that problem, then God encounter him. Oftentimes, God design certain situations, many times unpleasant, to reach out to us. He met with Peter in his frustration, ready to pack his nets to leave. Jesus met him in his frustration. Can I pray for somebody? in your frustration, may Jesus meet you. After anointing David, the real king was made via trials, just as gold are made by fire. And one thing about process is, through it, we are produced to our finishing state. Did you get that? That is what process does. And if you are going to get to that your finishing state, please don't try to jump process. Don't jump it. Whatever God wants to take you through, as long as you know it is God, just continue in it. Whatever your lot, whatever the going through, that's why scriptures will say that we know that those who love God, everything work for their good. Even when we look at it outside, all we can see is storm. All we can see is fire. All we can see is trouble. God is saying, because he loves me, I am with him. Let's see King Saul. So in trouble, looking for us, he found God. You will find God today. After finding God, he was anointed, and the word came. You will become the king. Don't forget, look at this. Please. Your anointing is not as important as remaining in the grace that bought you. You see, a man can be anointed, and if that man will not walk through the grace, that will be the end of the anointing. Even though anointed. Now, did you remember Saul? Excuse me. How many times was he anointed? How many times was Saul anointed? Just once. The other time, you know, Samuel gathered all the people and said, yes, this is your king. And probably was anointed there again. Are you following me? You know, secretly he was first anointed before the public appearance. Behold your king, O ye Israel. But there is another time God actually wanted to establish his anointing and his dominion. But you know that time, he couldn't wait. Why? He's not walking in the grace. And Samuel told him, you have done foolishly today. Today will have been the very day you become king. Although he's on the throne. But Samuel said, you don't understand the way God works. Listen, life is in phases, men are in sizes. Have you noticed that when, at least in Yoruba settings, when they want to ordain a king, then they will first nominate the king. oh, so-so person is becoming king, so-so now. Are you getting me? Then the second phase will begin. That is the coronation. And that will take days in the secret place. Are you getting me? That is the second phase. The first one, the nominated. He has been nominated. Everybody knew, so is becoming the king. Now you go through the process. Even though he's the king, but he has to submit himself to the kingmaker, which are the same people he's still going to rule over. But for the process of his making, he must be ruled over. Remaining, walking in grace. He has to endure many things. He will go through what he does not enjoy, just because he's going through a process. Has he been anointed? Yes, he has been anointed. Is he the king? Yes, he's the king. But he's still going through the process. Listen, the king needs to process. The king needs to go through the process. The great must go through the process to become great. I've been anointed. Yes, but you must go through the process. How? Walking in grace. Even after you have become great, there is still a grace. There is still a greater level of grace. And you must not forget your first love, where you started, remaining small to keep growing higher. The fasting, the prayer, the relationship, everything that work your greatness from foundation one, don't forget it. Please, when you become great, don't forget the people you started together. Because at level of grace, you will meet different classes of people, some of which they don't want to have you as their competitor or contemporary. Even when they are giving you good advice, check it. There is an evil intention in it. They gather Naboth. They say, you are now honorable. You are this, you are that. They honor him. And that was the end of his life. Why? He has forgotten that he's fighting a man, the king. And it don't know now. King or Jamaic below. So for Saul, he missed the very time he would have ordained. But for David, he went through all the process from the secret anointing in his father's bedroom or living room or whatever house, then to the second phase at Hebron, then to the third phase still at Hebron, and then becoming king over entire Israel. How did he do it? Walking in grace. So let's look at the life of Paul, Saul, as we close. And I'm going to show you this. Let's go to chapter 15 so that we can close now. 1 Samuel 15. From verse 1, so Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people. Now, we'll see from here that even the anointing is for a purpose. It's for a purpose. He sent me to anoint thee to be king over Israel, his people, over Israel. Let me take that again. The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare not, but slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass, everything. So we find out that God anointed Saul. This is one of the purposes. Go and fight Amalek. And he gave him detail of the instruction. There is a purpose for grace. There is a purpose for the anointing. So if you don't use your grace for the purpose of it, you are frustrating it. It will soon dry off. Look at that verse 1 again. God sent me to anoint thee. You are anointed. Now, therefore, hearken to the voice of the word of the Lord. So, after you are anointed, find out the voice of God in executing and using that anointing. Find out what is the voice of God. So, meaning that behind every anointing is the voice of God. For the purpose of the anointing, what you must do. So, if we are going to go back from to where we started, Jeremiah chapter 1, that which you are ordained for, you must find out. So, as you do that, you walk in grace, and then you keep growing from grace to grace. Did you get that? But like Saul was saying in Galatians, we read the other time, verse 19 to 21, Message Translation. I'm not into a peer thing. It's with God. So let's look at the pitfall of Saul as we close. So the word of God came unto Samuel. Samuel, Saul has messed up. He didn't do what I asked him to do. Okay, let's read that. The word of God, verse 10, came unto Samuel, saying, it repented me. Can you see that? Because it frustrates the grace of God. So God said, I think I made a mistake. Did you get that? That's another word for it repented me. Can I pray for you and myself? May God not count it a mistake pouring his grace over our life. Whatever God graces you to do, there is a purpose for it. Listen, including your marriage. Including your career. Please, let's go out of church and understand this. So that we can make great impact in the world. I'm trying to remember, I think the 35th or 30-something American president who just clocked 100 some weeks ago. What's his name? I've forgotten the name now. I've forgotten the name. And he's the first ever long-living president of the United States. 100 years. Please, somebody can get that for me. I will appreciate. I'm trying to remember the name now. One lesson from his life. Even in his inaugural speech as the elected president of the United States, many, many years ago, thank you, Jimmy Carter. In his inaugural speech, he was preaching love, justice for all. Justice, care for people. And up to today, that's what he's still living for. When I look at the speech, what has been said many years ago, what he said, inaugural speech, his philosophy of life today, even at 100, my conclusion is, no wonder he's still making impact at 100. He has pastor. He has a pastor that they have a very good cordial relationship together. Please, as we round up this teaching, make mind you will walk in grace still. The grace that found you, you won't throw it away. You won't frustrate it. Even in your career, this is a politician. Even in your career, you will carry God there. You will carry God in your career. In every aspect of your life, you are going to find which area God wants you to make impact. And you are going to live for that. You see, God will be pleased as you walk in this grace. So for Saul, what's his mystic? The Bible says, it repented God. God said to Samuel, it repented me that I've set up Saul to be king. For he's turned back from me, from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. But you know what? Samuel can only cry. That's his pastor. There is nothing he can do, because that is the choice of Saul. I found out that even at times, people can be under a good pastor, attending a great church, being well fed, but if the sheep will not lie down to eat, what can the shepherd do? If you get to chapter 16, look at what God said. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Me, oh, let me tell you, I have rejected him. Meaning that his pastor was praying for him, but chosen to walk out of grace. And God said, the man you are mourning for, he doesn't have the heart. Let's forget him. Let's look for another man. May you not be replaced. And look at the error of Saul as we close. So when Samuel confronted him, verse 14, Samuel said, what meant then the bleating of the sheep in my ear, the lowing of oxen? So Saul said, they have brought them. They have brought them. Who are they? Go to verse 20. We read 20, 21. And Saul said to Samuel, ye, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have done the way which the Lord sent me, and I have brought Agag king of Amalek, and not only destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took the spoils. The people took the spoils. This is what Paul was referring to the other time, that the call of God is not a peer-pleasing religion. If you are ordained to be something before you were born, it is now that you are here, it is not a peer work. It is uniquely made for you, and you must find how not to frustrate the grace of God. I close you with this word. The race of destiny is tailored fit. Tailored fit. Not general fit. It is God's blessing, not peer blessing. So Jesus in Luke chapter 10, while sending out the disciples, he told them in verse 4, as you are going, you don't need certain things. Can you give me on the screen? Luke 10, 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we stand on our feet now? Let's stand to our feet. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsty of my soul. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up and make me whole. So Jesus told them, what I have raised you for, the destiny I have for you, if you are going to fulfill it, that's their call. Look at it on the screen. Jesus said, be careful of this. Don't carry purse. Nor scrip. Nor shoe. Does that sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? The comforts. Hello? Why are you looking for comfort when you have not started at all? Why? Does this sound familiar? Don't carry purse. Don't carry shoe. Will you need them? Certainly you will need them. But don't be focused on them. They will distract you. Gains. Looking for gains when you have not started will make you lose everything that grace has brought to you. And then look at the last thing, which is my emphasis. Jesus also said, salute no man by the way. Salute no man, oh. Salute no man. Let me say this. When you are on your way to work and you are already running out of time, and you meet somebody you know, how do you get that person, sir? You're on your way to work. You are rushing on your way to work. There is a call for you at work. And then you met somebody on the way. Will you take so much time to greet that fellow? What will you tell the fellow? I will see you later. Jesus said, salute no man on the way. In other words, face your destiny. When you are looking around to see what others are doing, you may frustrate. You may be forced to frustrate the grace of God. Don't be people's focus. Be God focus. Be destiny focus. face where you are going. Mind your own business. Am I making sense to you? Mind your own business. For the fact that the social media is there, you don't need to address everything. You don't need to answer everything. For what? You don't need to be involved in every conversation. In fact, when you wake up in the morning, help yourself. Don't attend to your phone first. Have you tried before? The day you wake up and you try to quickly, let me quickly check. The next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20, you are there. True? Live a life of discipline. Will you beg God that, Father, help me to walk in grace? That is when God will be pleased to give you outpouring of more oil. Go ahead and pray. Help me to walk in grace. Help me. Help me. Help me. Wherever you call me to do, whatever you call me to do, wherever you call me to, help me to remain there. Help me to walk in grace. Help me. Help me. Help me. Not to frustrate your grace. Not to frustrate it. If you don't walk in grace, you frustrate grace. Help me to keep walking till I meet you in glory. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. Come on. From today, I will remain focused. I won't allow peer pressure, people pressure. I will no longer be a men's pleaser, pleasing everybody. Remember the word of Jesus, a man's enemy are the people of his house. Whatever you call me to, that is what I will do. Help me, Father. Help me, Father. Bring your prayers to a close as you make this decision. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Say louder, amen.